possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
I thought of the idea to give back to Boston. Susan, you still have me moved. Oh, I thought of the idea to give back to Boston. Oh, hold up, I'm sorry. Oh. Wow. I thought of the idea to give back to the Boston area for all the love and support the city of New England fans have shown me throughout my career, and it was since day one. Even if I was acting like an idiot, they loved it. You guys loved it, so thank you so much. It helped me perform tremendously. And the day is here, and it's a day to celebrate. We just officially opened up the Gronk Playground here, right on the Charles River, right on the Esplanade property, on Storrow Drive, right in the middle of the city of Boston. It couldn't be a better location. I just want to thank everyone that was a part of it.
It's Tier Tuesday with Jones and Keith.
Let's go!
All right, you heard it there. That was Rob Gronkowski, old friend of the region, opening, finally, his Gronk Playground on the Esplanade right in downtown Boston and Back Bay. I remember when he had the groundbreaking. I think it was like 3 or 4 years ago at this point. So it took a while to get this playground together, John Lyons. Looks beautiful. Looks like it's going to be an awesome site for you to take the kids if you want to play on the Gronk Playground. He also dedicated a very old tree to Robert Kraft, which felt borderline insulting. A little bit of a weird move, but that's a bit of an aside. So for this Tier Tuesday on a Wednesday, Billy Laney, I was hoping that you could help me out. We're going to be tiering playground equipment. And this is the playground equipment that I'd say as a child of the 90s. Like, I was doing a little research on this last night during the Red Sox game, trying to see which of this playground equipment is still allowed because so much of it leads to visits to the emergency room. But we're just going with general playground equipment. I feel like you can find most of this stuff on most playgrounds still.
This is my first ever tiers, Mego.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Kind of hoping I don't screw it up.
Billy, do you want to tell John how this works?
All right, John. So we have, what we got here today? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different categories to choose from. I mean, sorry, levels, rankings.
Aren't they called tiers?
Tiers.
Tiers.
I'm learning quickly here, Billy.
All right. Top tier, I'll be here all day.
Yes, that's correct.
Next up, call an ambulance.
Oh, wait. We reordered one of them.
Oh.
The second one is the athlete one.
You're an athlete.
Yes.
Okay. So then call an ambulance?
Yes, then call an ambulance.
Okay, and then there's pain, then there's lame, and then there's ew.
Okay. Okay.
So these are our categories. We have, or tiers. We have, I'll be here all day, you're an athlete, call an ambulance, pain, lame, and ew. So, Billy, do you want to go through and give us some of our different equipment pieces that we can tier out here?
I'll lay out the equipment, and you let me know. We'll go first up, tetherball.
Okay, tetherball, not something I saw on a ton of, like, school playgrounds growing up, because I feel like there's probably a high theft level of the actual ball. But definitely one I saw on other playgrounds. Tetherball always makes me think of Napoleon Dynamite. I'm going to go with you're an athlete.
That child is going to be a pro athlete.
That's going to be a piece of playground equipment that you need to have at least some athletic leanings to be able to take advantage of.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You're an athlete. You got to have some reaction time, some skills, you know, a little volleyball skills in there, maybe a little bit too. So I'm with you on that.
Okay, so we agree. Tetherball is in the you're an athlete tier. What else have we got?
Up next, we have monkey bars.
Monkey bars, to me, are the clearest call an ambulance. And I speak from personal experience, okay? Alyssa Rosnan dared me to jump to the fifth monkey bar in first
Alyssa
grade.
Just get blasted.
Not only did I do it, not only did I jump from the platform and hit that fifth monkey bar, but it had rained that morning, so my little hand slipped off the monkey bar and I broke my right arm and I had to go directly to the ER, call an ambulance. That's where monkey bars belong. I can't believe monkey bars are still on playgrounds. Like, there has to be some kind of connection between the playground designers and the emergency room doctors and orthopedic surgeons who together say monkey bars are a part of our economy. We need the monkey bars to keep this going.
Yeah, call an ambulance! Call an ambulance!
They call her monkey bar, Mago. I actually put that in you're an athlete tier.
Okay.
You ever go across the monkey bar like multiple times? It's quite a workout. So I put that, especially, you know, young kid, because you're having trouble reaching all the way forward.
Yeah, that's how you end up breaking everything in your little body.
Yeah.
I falling into the wood chips.
I put that in you're an athlete.
That child is going to be a pro athlete.
Lanny,
I got to go with athlete.
You're going with athlete?
I'm going with athlete. Lanny gets athletic for that.
You guys, I have personal experience. I'm telling you. Monkey bars, monkey bars is the quickest way to break your arm in elementary school. All right. Yeah. Well, you guys win this one. You win it. So I guess we're putting that in you're an athlete. We have two in you're an athlete. What's our next one, Billy?
Spring animal rockers.
So do you know what these are?
So when you first sent it in the email, rockers? I was like, what the hell are
You've
these
You've never
things?
Seen these?
I think I know what they are now, but when I first read it, I was like, what are
these? It's the little, it's not always an animal, but oftentimes it is. It like looks almost like a, I don't know, like a, it's like a, has little handlebars on it and a little saddle and you climb on it and you can rock back and forth, you know, and kind of like soothe yourself. So where would you put this in the
lame.
Tiers?
Yeah, lame. I don't think I've ever touched one of those, been on one of them, been near one of them. That lame capital L.
L7 Winnie.
I put that in, I'll be here all day.
Literally the opposite category. There we go.
You put one of those little spring animal rockers in front of me. Yeah, I'll jump on that thing all day.
All right,
Billy.
So,
I get it. What did you picture on? You went with lame. Yeah, it's kind of lame.
L7 Winnie.
Okay, what's our next?
My brother
one?
Got lit up by one of those when he was a
How?
Kid.
How do you get lit up? Did it come alive?
Fell off of it, and then it went forward, and then back. Black eye, just like, oh.
I never thought of those things as dangerous.
Yeah. Well, for my brother, it was.
For him, it was calling ambulance.
Yeah. For him, it was calling ambulance.
Okay, what's our next piece?
Next up is the climbing dome.
Climbing dome. Do you know what this is? It's like the thing where all the bars are combined, and it looks like some geometric kind of almost like structure. To me, that is, I'm going to say lame.
L7
I don't like that
Weenie.
Thing. Like, what's the best thing you can do off that thing? You climb to the top of it and then you just sit up there?
And you fight off all enemies, foreign and
King
domestic,
of the hill.
From climbing up. Yes. So I'll be here all day on that one. If I get to the top of that, I'm staying.
And you just shoving your feet in the other kids' faces?
If need be.
Get down?
If need be.
Okay, what do you say, Billy?
What was your pick, Megan? How did you?
I said lame.
Yeah, I know that. Lame.
That's lame. Also, it's like if you go up to a playground and that's the centerpiece of the playground, that playground sucks.
You
don't want to spend time.
There might be a football shaped one in Gronks.
Oh well, that's nice. I
at
mean, there's
a football.
There's
shape.
A lot of other cool stuff there, so
right,
it's not
the
centerpiece.
Like a football.
Okay, what's our next playground equipment?
The seesaw.
Seesaw can be a weapon if you use it correctly. But I think the seesaw is pretty lame. I'm gonna lame that.
L7 Weenie.
I put this in the pain category because I fell off one time and it hurt a lot. So that's my
Did someone launch you off of it?
I think, or like I wasn't balanced enough and then someone like jumped on it. So yeah, essentially. And then I like, it went to the top and I just like fell off.
So they weaponized it.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, it was pain. It was pain everywhere. Painful.
Yeah.
So what tier do you put this in, Lenny?
I'm going with you. You went with lame.
Yeah, I went with lame.
I'm going with lame.
I think the seesaw feels outdated.
Because you know the thing is, too, is your personal experience on a previous one worked against you, so I'm using that against John this time.
That's very fair. Thank you. All right, what else do we have?
Merry-go-round.
Ugh. I almost made a category that was just barf. I hate the merry-go-round. So we're not talking about merry-go-round with horses. We're talking about the big metal disc that has the handles on it, and you spin it as fast as you can, and you jump on it, and you just swing around and around and around. I originally was going to put this in call an ambulance, because if you fly off that thing, you're done. I'm going to put it in the ew category because it just makes me nauseated.
Ew.
Yeah, I'm close. I put it in the lame category, so.
L7 Weenie.
Lanny?
I gotta go ew, just because I agree with you. Like, anything that spins too much is only gonna damage my stomach.
It's like the Disney teacups. Just even thinking about it upsets me. What else have we got?
Swings.
Swings, a classic. I do remember there was a movement in my hometown to rip up all the swings because the kids were getting injured so often. So I'm gonna say call an ambulance. My cousin definitely broke his arm on the swings.
I'll be here all day.
Yeah?
That's mine. Yeah, just relaxing, ride the swings. Yeah.
Do you launch yourself off them, though?
Occasionally, if I'm trying to feel cool, yeah.
Okay, I'll be here all day or call an ambulance.
I'll be here all day.
Swings are a classic.
You think playground, you can't have a playground without swings.
All right, what else have we got?
Parallel bars.
Did you have these on your playgrounds?
I don't think so.
Parallel bars, they were like built into the jungle gym. This, to me, is the epitome of you're an athlete. Because you can play like a game of tag where you go around the parallel bars and you have to keep jumping over them and jumping under them. And it's actually like an extreme workout.
I agree. You're an athlete.
You're an athlete? Yeah.
That child is going to be a pro athlete.
Especially if you do a game within a game.
What's the game within
a
game?
No, I'm saying like this was just a thing to swing on, but you turned it into...
Oh, no. That's the only function that they served on my playground.
Oh, I thought it was just you go on there, you swing your legs, you're on to the next thing.
No, it was like a competition that we had. This is very intense. What's our next piece?
The mini zip line.
Okay, this is a total like Gen Z, Gen Alpha kid move. We didn't have these mini zip lines when I was growing up, but now if you go down to the Esplanade, if you go out to some playground in Newton or, you know, one of these suburbs, they all have these mini zip lines that you can jump on and just ride through. To me, that's the epitome of I'll be here all day. Like, I'm sure there's a weight limit on them, so I can't do it now. But if I was a kid, that would be I'd be like that stupid I think you should leave sketch. That would be the only thing I would be doing at the playground, would be riding the zip line over and over and over again. Why would you do anything else there? I'm not going to get on a slide if there's a zip line.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll be here all day.
Let's go!
I've never seen one of those, but that sounds like a ton of fun.
Someone on the text line says you guys sound like tattletales on the playground. Am I saying that because of all the playground equipment that can hurt you? I've been hurt on it.
I got hurt on a seesaw, but I didn't tell on the kid.
No, I say live and let live, but just know there's danger out there. All right, what else do we have, Lanny?
Slides.
Slides. This is why I created the pain category. Because slides...
Especially on a hot day.
Okay, so we have the metal slides that were like from the junky playgrounds from the 70s that we played on, and those things would burn you. But even if you got like the new school plastic slides and the slides that had that go 360 and have the tunnel that like on top of them, the static electricity would like shock you as you go down it. So the slide to me is the epitome of pain.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, just pain. It was pain everywhere.
Thank you. Thank you, Jameis.
Finally, we have the sandbox.
Ew! A public sandbox is nasty. Like, we had a sandbox in my backyard. Is this something that dads still build? Lanny, are you building a sandbox for your kid?
I am not, no. I don't want sand anywhere near my house.
It reminds me of a litter box, right? Like a big cat litter box.
I had one in my first house as a little kid, and then when we moved to my other house, I was like 7. Never had one there and didn't care. Never missed it, anything.
It had to be like a trend, right? Yeah. Like that people were in on the sandboxes. Public sandbox, disgusting. Yeah. Absolutely not. Totally out. Ew.
Ew.
Plus, a lot of playgrounds are not using sand at all anymore. You know, they all have that, like, almost like sponge ground that they use there. Almost
but
like that.
The sandbox
oh, yeah, like
was
the turf-ish stuff.
The sandbox was like a separate destination on the playground. Like, yeah, when I was growing up, it was all wood chips, like wood chips, everything. Now you're right. They use that like spongy stuff, which I guess absorbs the impacts from all the danger of the playground. And then the sandbox is off to the side. But I still see public playgrounds that have sandboxes and people just leave the toys in it and it looks nasty.
Yeah.
And it looks like you're going to come out of it with like scabies or
there's just a raccoon living underneath the sand.
Yeah, like some kind of rash. Oh, yeah. You better believe that like the street cats and the rats love those sandboxes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Billy, what are our final tiers for our playground equipment?
Oh, I was not keeping track of them. I was just reading them and crossing them off my list. I'm hoping that Terp was doing that. I had my checklist going on. I didn't rank them within.
Okay, well, we'll leave you in suspense. We'll have the graphic up from Terp for our tiers. Our tiers were I'll be here all day, you're an athlete, call an ambulance, pain, lame, and ew. And I think we agreed on a lot of these, a couple of them, though. I mean, hey, I think probably like 70% of these could fall into the call an ambulance category.
True. Yeah.
So just, you know, if you're taking your kid to the playground, make sure that you're aware of what's going on there. On the other side, we are going to trend with Billy Lanny very quickly. On the other side, we're going to talk about Celtics ownership, which officially changed hands. What are you expecting from the new Chisholm ownership group? And do you think it's going to stay status quo?
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Mega and Lions in for Jones and Keith. How did we go an entire segment where we're tearing out playground equipment and we didn't talk about the cop slide in Boston?
That's true.
I'm kind of surprised that they're still making metal slides, because I thought that was the kind of thing that was like from the 70s. But then people were texting in and somebody said, apparently there's a great video of a Connecticut man who gets stuck in a tube slide, which just seems mean. But I was thinking about the cop slide, which was the greatest video that came out of Boston in the last 10 years.
That's the greatest video in the last 10 years?
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah, and Terp and I were just talking about this off air. We didn't also mention basketball hoops, which when I was a kid would love at the playground.
See, that's where you start getting into, I don't consider that playground equipment, because it's like, then you start talking about, the softball field, like how far do you take that, you know? Okay. Like I don't think we can start introducing actual athletic gear. Like athletic equipment, you got to be talking about playground equipment.
That'd be by far number one, though,
if
it was on the list.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But also, I would say
compared to a young Steph Curry out there, you know, when I was
that's my game, too.
Yeah.
Because you were always breaking your ankles and you're just like,
thanks, Mega. Appreciate it.
Walking around with them wrapped up.
Yeah.
The voice you hear there is Justin Turpin, known for his Pure Hoops segment. And so we wanted to bring him in on our conversation about the big news that was announced by the Celtics yesterday, that the ownership has officially transferred from the Grosbeck family to Chisholm and Company, including notably 6th Street. So the Bill Chisholm era is here. I need a final ruling, Terp. Are we going Chisholm or Chisholm? Because we may have a Chisholm on the Patriots roster, so I really need them to be pronounced the same way.
We'll go with Billy Banners, I guess. But
okay,
no,
Billy
it'd be Chisholm. Chisholm.
Chisholm?
Yes.
Chisholm.
Yes, Chisholm.
We're saying the same thing, right?
Yes.
Because sometimes I talk about Elliot Wolf and people say like it sounds like something different than what other people say.
Chisholm.
But we agree. So what were your main takeaways from the news of this going through? Anything about it surprise you?
No, I think it was all pretty much status quo. Obviously, we had the news last week with Wick Grosbeck and his 15% ownership stake dipping below, so he had to come off the governor title. But they make it sound like it's going to be business as usual, and that's what Wick Grosbeck and Bill Chisholm said yesterday, that they're just going to keep on going along, and they're just going to go without the titles there. And I think that's good. I mean, obviously, Bill Chisholm doesn't have any experience in this, and he's looked into professional franchises before, but hasn't actually owned one. So now the first time, having Wick Grosbeck, who's been doing it for 20-plus years by his side, is obviously a good thing, and I think it reassures fans as well.
So there's something I'm wondering if you can help me sort out here, because it doesn't fully make sense to me. And I'm not saying good or bad. It sounds like Wick is going to own more of the team now than he did before, because his dad owned the majority stake before, and he's going to be CEO and alternate governor, but it kind of feels like the vibe, the CEO thing, might last beyond the 2028 kind of date. So, like, what is the actual power structure here? Because I know Chisholm's the governor, but Wick owns more than he's ever owned before, and he's going to be the CEO. It's just, I guess I'm a little confused on actually how they're going to set this up. Because, I mean, Chisholm's the $6 billion man here. Like,
right.
Wouldn't he be calling the shots? Like,
it is the CEO part's interesting, because it's very clear that the alternate governor is through 2028, and he was supposed to remain as the governor through 2028, but they had to switch that and add the alternate tag, kind of a little loophole in there. But the CEO part's interesting, because there's not really any clarity as to how long he's going to stay on there, but he's back invested with the team, and that was part of it, that he was going to take some of the money from the sale and reinvest back into the team and buy back in. So it seems like he's going to be around for years to come here beyond 2028.
So he's still not the primary owner, but like he's still the owner of the Celtics with a bigger stake than he had before. It's just I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just I feel like this is really odd.
It is odd. I mean, when you get that much money back,
because like
your
Mark Cuban
does.
Just got pushed away in Dallas, right? And I think a lot of people thought this would be the same. And it's like I said, it's like he's owns more now,
right.
And he's the CEO. It just I wonder how that power dynamic. You know, maybe now it's all hunky dory, but in 2029, when they're in the second apron for the third year in a row again,
right.
Like how does that power dynamic play?
And I feel like there's always kind of a gray area with the co-owner part, right? Because that's what it kind of seems like they're going to try to do here, even though obviously Bill Chisholm has the most stake, and from the reports that he's the only one that's going to have the 15% stake, so he has to be the governor. So it is kind of interesting when you get into that gray area of co-owning a team, and that seems like what they're going to try to do.
Did Wick actually think that he was going to get to that 15% mark and he wasn't able to? Like, did he think that he was going to raise a certain amount of funds or something?
It sounds like he was there. And then because of the big TV deal that's coming, the stake of the franchise went up and therefore his stake went down below the 12 or the below the 15%.
More so money, he was closer to like 12%.
Exactly. So that TV deal also a big complicator in this.
Okay, so Adam Himmelsbach from the Boston Globe had some details. He sat down with Chisholm and Wick Grosbeck yesterday, or rather ran yesterday. I'm sure he sat down before that. But here's what, just a couple of quotes that he got from Chisholm. He says, the day-to-day operational approach here is the same as it ever was. Wick and I are arm in arm leading the charge with the Celtics. Frankly, the change that needed to be made was more of a league issue.
And that's at 15%.
How old does that mean?
I think that's at 15%.
Where they need to bring it down from 15% so somebody can have 10% and be the governor?
Well, I think that's why they put the alternate tag on it. Like, so he's not the official governor.
They made that up. You know what I mean? Right?
They made that up. Yeah, right.
Do other teams have alternate governors?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. So, alt governor. He's an alt governor.
Wasn't Cuban that for like a year? And then they stripped him?
Yeah, less than that. It was kind of a very similar situation.
So
but
Cuban
they stripped
was
him.
The alternate governor with the Mavs.
With the Mavericks, right.
Briefly,
when he sold.
Though,
right? Right, very briefly. Yeah.
Interesting.
And then they moved on. And I think that was part of the 15% stake thing.
So okay. I'm not trying to rain on the parade here. But he says, we're in lockstep, Wick and I, all that. So if that's the case, why are Holiday and Porzingis both gone?
Well, I think they've been very clear about that.
And I know you're going to tell me the second apron
right.
And the basketball pen. But if they're freezing your first round pick and you're an NBA championship contender, it's going to be near the end of the first round anyway. And I know there's other – like, I guess that's the only – and I know Chisholm is a Celtics fan and all that. I get it. But it's – I guess, how, like I said before, that power dynamic between him and Wick, it feels like Wick, and if Pags had bought the team too, would have just kept a lot of these guys, and now some of them are gone. Like, again, I can understand trading one.
I think that has more to do with Tatum than anything, Tatum's injury.
I can understand trading one of them, right? Holiday or Porzingis. It's just the both thing.
Well, just one of them wasn't going to get them under the second apron, though.
Yeah,
so
I guess,
I mean, it was going to happen no matter what. Regardless of the Tatum injury, and I think people also forget, like, they were going to lose that series regardless.
Yeah.
Even if Tatum was healthy, they were on their way being down 3-1 and losing that series. So were you going to justify bringing back a $500 million roster for a team that didn't have its best player and just had a second-round exit and didn't meet expectations last year? I mean, the reality is the new NBA, the windows are so much shorter. Years ago, this team should have had another crack where they win a championship, they mess around, they find out, and then they have another chance to right the ship and win another one. That's the old NBA. Those days are gone now, just with the second apron, and they want the parity, and that's what they're getting. And I think every league office around the whole NBA has been very clear. Like, there's nothing they can do. Like, teams cannot live in the second apron from a basketball standpoint and from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, what's confusing to me is that this is clearly punishing the Celtics right now because of moves that they started making before all the second apron
right.
stuff came in, and because they happened to hit on two guys who were all NBA in the draft. And they feel like instead of being rewarded for that by giving those guys the Supermax contracts, now it's restricting what they can build around them. And it should that's counterintuitive if you're like, we want the guys to stay on the teams and for people to know who is in their hometown. But at the same time, like, isn't having the second apron to contain the spending for owners around the league? So what's weird to me is, like, on the one hand, you have owners, like, I would assume from the Celtics, saying it's really tough on us with this second apron. But at the same time, it's the owners overall, collectively, who agreed
Correct.
To put in the second apron so that they wouldn't be trying to chase a Phoenix Suns owner who's just going to spend out the wazoo no matter what.
Yeah, it does seem...
It's like kind of the guy standing in the hot dog costume being like, we're all trying to find who's responsible for this.
Right.
Like, they're upset. Maybe the Celtics oppose the second apron completely. I just think it's kind of like a weird dynamic.
I also don't know if teams really knew what they were getting into with it. Like, I think they had the idea that this was going to be a hard thing to deal with. And then when it actually happens, it's like, oh, wow. Like, you go from having the team the Celtics had this last year to the one you're looking at going into this year. It's night and day. And it's really hitting close to here, because this is the first team that we've seen in the NBA to be ruined by the second apron. Like, the Celtics are like the guinea pig in a way. So it does make it a little bit different, like, seeing it firsthand. It's like, no one's ever done this before. The Celtics are the first team to be ripped apart by it, and there are more coming. Like, Cleveland's a second apron team right now. They're over by 20 million. Oklahoma City's going to be there in a couple years. So it's going to come. Everyone's going to eventually have to pay their dues. And I mean, that's just the reality of the league.
I think maybe a tipping point would be, look, Oklahoma City is a tiny market, but if they have a big cultural impact, like if they rip off a couple of championships and look like a dynasty and are forced to break up in like a, if they're Warriors-esque and then they're forced to break up because of the second apron and the CBA, then maybe fans, like casual fans, will start saying, hey, this is not the way that we want the league to go. We want them to be able to keep chasing rings because it's chasing greatness.
And I think, and you and I, Terp, have talked about this before, the Celtics are being punished for being smart.
Yes.
Like, the Lakers could have drafted Jason Tatum, and they took Lonzo Ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Celtics, and go to the Porzingis trade. The Celtics drafted and developed Marcus Smart into a piece that was worthy of trading for Porzingis. So, yeah, did they spend a lot of money? But also, like, they drafted and developed the sixth man of the year in Pritchard. And it's not, you hit the nail on the head. It's not just the Celtics. It's going to be OKC. What about Indiana, who just lost Miles Turner? Halliburton's going to come up. How about Orlando, who could go to the NBA Finals next year? All those young guys.
They got 2 years.
And then, Mego, you mentioned Phoenix, and you're right, but like, they spent all that money and they weren't a real contender.
Right.
Like, so, like, the teams that are smart are getting punished for it. And to me, that doesn't, it's not just the Celtics. Like, it's going to happen to these small market teams. It could happen to a big market team. Like, we saw the Knicks have to get rid of Hartenstein as well a couple of years ago because of some of these concerns. And I think that's where I wonder if you're right, Terp, and that maybe the owners and the teams weren't fully cognizant of, like, holy crap, this is what we're getting. Like, yeah, it's going to be big, but, like, whoa.
I think Brad Stevens has been pretty clear about that. Where
but,
he's like,
but
we
Brad
knew it was
Stevens
coming down the line.
Isn't
but
an owner.
No,
you know, like,
but he's
he
the one
have
has
a,
to kind of go through all this. You
right,
know what I mean?
Of course. Well, of course, the guys in the front office who are trying to make the moves and build the teams are going to be frustrated by any constraints they put on them. But I do want to get a little bit more into this Himmelsbach article. So he writes about how when it became clear the governor title wasn't going to be available because of math, Bill said, well, then we're just not going to use that word around the office. So that says, this is what Wick is saying. So that says a lot about Bill, that he doesn't care. He just wants to do the right thing for the team. And I feel the exact same way. We're shoulder to shoulder. How long do you think it's realistic for that kind of partnership to for them to coexist as the co-chairs of this team, in a sense?
I think the reality is, no matter what the format, the guys, the money, the people contributing the most money are going to be the ones making the decisions. And I think for starters, at least to begin this partnership, Wick Rosbeck is going to be hit shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm with Bill Chisholm. And he's going to need that guidance. Again, he's never been in the situation before, and he has the luxury of having one of the better owners, in, especially in the NBA
think,
and sports in general.
Because I was talking to Tranny Casey about this on her Early Edition show last night. Do you think there's any part of this that's a little too convenient, that it's a year that doesn't have championship expectations for this roster? So they're saying, we're sharing the responsibility of ushering this team through this year because the expectations aren't that great?
I mean, I think it was going to be like this regardless. I mean, this was, the sale was made in March, right? At that point, you thought you had Jason Tatum. He was still going to be here for this year. You knew changes were coming, but you probably, even if you just lost Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis and dipped below the second apron, had you had Jason Tatum, the expectations of this team would be crazy differently. It would be a lot different. So I don't think it's necessarily that, because nobody could have predicted Jason Tatum tearing his Achilles. Like, that's the biggest issue with this team. Like, if they had him and Jaylen Brown, you're automatically a contender. We've seen it the last 9 years they've been together. Every year those guys are together, you're a contender. So I don't think it's necessarily that. It's just, it's terrible timing to take over a team when you're getting ran through by the second apron, and then you lose your best player, an all-NBA player.
You feel bad for Chisholm.
I do a little bit. I mean, part of me, yes, part of me does. I mean, obviously, like, there's no really telling that. This is just a terrible time to come through. And I think for the most part, fans do understand that there was no way around this. Like, they understand the weight of the second apron and how it's going to affect teams moving forward. But there are also some, it's like, all right, why'd you trade the unicorn and bring in, like, George Niang? I know he's gone, but you're bringing in...
Do you think that Kristaps lost some of that, like, goodwill, 100%. Though,
John and I were talking about that before the show.
Because of all his health stuff. Like,
not even that, just the postseason alone. Like, the postseason alone, I mean, a lot of their struggles.
That's what I mean. The weird symptoms
that
he carried.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the availability just continued to be such an issue with him. Even though everybody loves him, for when he is healthy, and the personality that he brought to the team was awesome. But the guy had two postseasons where the second one especially
just think of like
was missing serious time.
The turnaround from game two against Orlando, and he's bleeding down from the face.
He had 30 points in that game, right?
Yeah, he was pretty. He scored a decent amount around. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
He's coming out pumping his fist, blood dripping down his forehead. Everyone's going nuts. And then, even 2 weeks later, everyone's just done with him. Okay. Absolutely done with him.
Terp, let me ask one more thing, because there's a quote here, and I want to ask you who you think that they're talking about.
Okay.
This is Chisholm. This is from Adam Himmelsbach's article in the Boston Globe. Quote: "It got to a point where we were able to curate and choose who we wanted in the group. There were people who didn't make it, and I'm not pointing at anybody in particular, but there were some folks that didn't fit. There were some folks we really wanted, and we were able to put together a group of people who are passionate about the Celtics and the community and have connections to Boston."
Would that be Steve Pagliuca?
That's not very nice. Why would you guess that?
Is that, well, who do you think?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
I think that's who that sounds like to me.
"There were some folks we really wanted. We were able to put together a group of people who are passionate about the Celtics and the community and have connections to Boston." I would say that Pags fits into that category.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see Pags.
I would
Pags
like to know
this.
What Pags bid.
Well,
if we could find that out.
At least.
Less than 6.1, I guess.
He made it sound like it was a better bid. When his initial statement, when it
was
first,
angry.
He was angry.
Yes.
And he was like, "We'll be ready to buy in." Like, he was almost implying, like, "Hey, there's a real chance this falls through. And if it does, we're going to be there."
And
to
I
knock
will say the
by.
List of owners that came out in this group is not the same one as the initial. Like, there was some new faces.
Oh, it was
in
flux.
Yeah.
You know?
But to point being, so maybe Pags had some evidence of that. And obviously, it didn't work out that way. But
yeah.
It's gone through now, so it's official. We are in the Billy Banner's era of the Celtics.
Tough way to usher it in.
Hopefully, Terp feels so
I
sorry
do. It's
for
hard
him.
Not to feel bad for the guy.
What are you talking about? He just bought the Boston Celtics.
And in, like, a potential, like, the
How
Jason,
are you
it's not even hyperbolic. It's not even hyperbolic
no,
to say
I
like,
feel
that's
bad
a,
for Jason Tatum, who has to rehab his Achilles.
You
over
can feel
the
bad
next
for both of them.
I would love to own the Celtics. I don't care if the Celtics had nobody on the roster. If I was picking up the Celtics with Brad Stevens in his rookie year,
it's
if I'm buying that team,
year.
It is not close. Get out of here.
I mean, that front court
you are
is
being a
disaster.
Clown right now. But I would take that Celtics team in a heartbeat. I do not feel bad for anybody owning the Celtics. It's an historic, awesome tentpole of the NBA. Get out of here. And Jason Tatum is coming back. So relax.
Coming back
in March.
John's all over that.
Please don't.
In March.
Please don't say that. That is not the right path.
There's
for him.
A path.
There is a path. It's not the correct one, in my opinion. Let him heal. Let him take care of himself. All right. Thank you, Terp.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. On the other side, we are going to return to our Patriots talk before we get into our final hour, where we're definitely going to get back to last night's Red Sox game, what we're looking for against the Yankees, and where we think that team is going. But we want to talk about some trades, because there are disgruntled players, per usual, this August across the NFL. Do we believe, Elliot Wolf, that any of these guys are actually possibly going to be Patriots, that they would be willing to trade a second-round pick and maybe even a first round to land the right guy? Or is it just interest kings, that era of the Patriots, right after this break?
Cool,
you are being
a
clown right now.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A message from a former New Yorker. Presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Before we turn back to some Patriots talk, I do want to note some incredible news to share. Our Jimmy Fund results for the 23rd annual Jimmy Fund. Our final tote board as of 10 a.m. on August 20th is $5,760,244 and counting. That's just $5.7 million and counting. Thank you for helping make Radio Telethon a tremendous record-breaking success. $80 million now raised over 23 years. So just something to note. I mean, I know it is 2 days and we spend our entire broadcast on the Jimmy Fund, and I think it deserves more than that. You know, Dana Farber does other activities and does other fundraising and what they do with Panmas Challenge and all these different events. But I think being able to use our platform, being able to partner with NESN, having the Red Sox be so involved, it's been rare for us to get close to that. And I think that we should set this as this is the norm now. It's just some behind the baseball. A lot of times, like inside baseball, we talk about like, hey, get above 4 million. The previous record, I believe, was like 4.9 million. This is such a huge number and so generous. And from our listeners, just thank you to everybody, because these patients need it. These families need it. And it helps so much with the entire ecosystem around the patient. But like, I'm not trying to like sit and pat ourselves on the back or anything, just the entire effort, incredible work by everybody. So thank you so much.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where no matter how much you donate, I mean, you could be like Rob Hale donating $1 million, or you could be someone donating $5 or $10 or $20. It all adds up and it all makes a difference. And really just think $5.7 million in 2 days. It's just an amazing amount of money raised. Great, great job by not only the people involved, but just the people of New England who are part of this too.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, $5.7 million, just a little over that, closer to 5.8 really, if we're rounding up in a proper math way. That's the final tote board as of 10 a.m. today for the Jimmy Fund. So incredible work on the 23rd annual Jimmy Fund. I want to quickly touch on the Patriots, the realistic trades that may be out there for them. A little bit of news that I saw from Andrew Callahan. This shouldn't come as much of a surprise of anybody who's watching into the fourth quarter of preseason games, but Anfernee Jennings and Kyle Duggar are two names that apparently are being shopped around by the Patriots. What does that say to you about how Mike Vrabel is running his defense and what he thinks of the evaluations that those guys got where they re-signed as free agents a little over a year ago?
I think in Jennings' case, it's the scheme difference, right? Like we saw Terrell Williams, he wants a lot of single gap, attack stuff, all that. Just a little bit different than what Anfernee Jennings is used to doing and what he's good at. I still would like to keep him around. I think he's a good enough player to try to find a way to fit him in. And I think in Duggar's case, it's a combination of he played through most of last year with an injury, but he really wasn't that good on top of that either. And in camp, I mean, you've been down there even more than I have, but when I've been down there, Jabril Peppers looks like their best safety, and the next two best are Jalen Hawkins and Craig Woodson. And they're different guys too, right? Like, Duggar's never been that great in pass coverage. Mm-hmm. Hawkins and Woodson are better in pass coverage. They can both play in the deep part of the field if needed. So I think it's just a combination of, yeah, the scheme's a little bit different in Jennings' case, and I think in Duggar's case, he's just been passed by on the depth chart by those other two guys.
Do you think Duggars has anything to do at this point with the injury that he talked about at the end of last year? Or do you think that his decline last year is related to, unfortunately, who he is today in terms of how they see him being a tradable piece?
I think if you remember when he was drafted, there was a lot of excitement early on. And I think he's just kind of plateaued too as a player. Like, I'm not telling you he's bad, but I don't think he elevated into that really good to borderline star level player that I think a lot of people were hoping, or people were hoping he'd be Pat Chung 2.0. I don't think he's elevated into that. And again, Pepper's similar role has been better, and the other two guys have been better. And we've seen Vrabel now. I mean, he let Jonathan Jones go, let Jawan Bentley go, let Dietrich Wise go, right? He's let a lot of guys who have been here, and those guys' cases, Super Bowl champions. But a lot of these guys he has let go, and I think these two would be kind of the next in line of that.
One other note, it is National Radio Day today. Did you know that?
I did not.
I did not know that either, but we are celebrating, and we want you to tag us on social media. Use the hashtag National Radio Day. 105 years ago, radio started in the United States, and today you can hear us in your car, on your phone, on your smart device, and on apps everywhere, including the Odyssey app. If you missed anything from us tearing out playground equipment, talking Red Sox at the top of the show, or getting into Patriots expectations around Drake May, etc., you can find us on the Odyssey app. You can also find us on the iHeart app now. So just, you know,
everywhere.
You can find us on basically
YouTube,
anywhere.
Twitch, you know,
if you want to, anywhere you get your podcast, you can find us. You can find us right after this break. We're going to turn back to the Red Sox, because last night was very frustrating. It was frustrating for Jaren Duran, who expressed his frustration on camera. It was frustrating for fans who don't like seeing loaded bases get struck out three innings in a row. We're going to address what happened last night and where you think these Red Sox are going.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.